Your blessings be upon this word, Lord Jesus. We begin in part four of a series entitled Voices. And I wanted to just start with a couple of thoughts. Voices deposit their value into our hearts. The voices that we surround our lives with, the information that comes into these ears that find its way from our minds into our heart, change and affect who we are. Voices have a lasting effect within us. We read in Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist writes, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the voice of God speaking to us through his word acts as a guard and a protection so that we, as those who say that we honor him, will be guarded not to sin against him. Our heart is built by the words that enter it. God says, be careful of what enters your ears, for what comes forth through the voice of others has a way of changing and molding who you become. Be careful who you listen to. Words will change your character. Now, we use this term through this series, a term called fallen static. All around us in this earth are voices that are seeking our attention. And every word we hear, every voice that we hear, has the potential of changing who we are. And God has made it really clear to us, this earth that we live in is not our home. So if we're real comfortable here, maybe we're listening to the wrong voice. If it seems like the voices that we hear in this earth that are coming into our ears, moving in our minds and finding their home in our heart, if we're too comfortable with them, maybe we've gotten used to the static and we're not filtering what's coming in through the power of God's word. How many of you guys own one of these at one day in your history? Few, right? A transistor radio, right? They still make them. I guess this one's pretty old. But we know this about the radio. Kids, you know, this is a history lesson for you. You just hit that iPhone or that Android phone, and you never hear anything like this, do you? No. Let me just tell you, that's what you call static, all right? Not even on TVs anymore. Used to be you cut on the TV. So when you hear the static, it's kind of tough. You got to tune in to hear the right voice. Now, that sounds a little disturbing, doesn't it? But is there a right channel on here? You have to fight through the static to tune in to the right channel. Radio is filled with static, filled with channels that we can tune through to find the one that we are to listen to. But in that static, in that journey of finding the right voice, God has declared to us the right channel for us to listen to. And it's called, as we touched base on this last week, the Joshua Principle. God declares the right channel, the right voice that we are to tune into. As the children of Israel were moving out into the promised land, God imparted to them the most important part of information, of knowledge that would guard them and make them successful in the land that God had chosen for them to live. And we're just going to review just a little bit here. In Joshua chapter 1, starting with verse 8, it says this: "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Your mouth. Our words tell the content of our heart. The voices that we have tuned into echo back through our mouths. Be careful of who we listen to, because words plant themselves within us and have the ability to change who we are. So if all we're hearing is the static, the fallen static, listen to our words and hear what we have been listening to. Your words will not depart from my mouth, God. Your word will not leave my heart, Lord. In all of the fallen static, I will not allow your word to depart from my heart. The Joshua principle, your word will not depart from my mouth. Verse 8 again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You shall meditate on it day and night. For it to be part of who we are, our mouth, it must be something that we cherish and hold on to. And I thought about this. What does it mean to meditate? What does it mean to meditate on God's word? Because there's different ways that we can envision that. One is as a cold religious practice that we're forced to do, a dry religious practice of just reading and being repetitious in words. We can fall on our face in the posture of religious practice. And if all we're doing is going through repetition and dryness of religious ritual, it really won't amount to the purpose that God has. Because the Word of God is more than just printed words on a page or something of understanding that we can just log in our brains. Meditating on the Word of God is better put in this description: a life-giving relationship with the presence of God. For if we know someone, we know their words. A relationship with just an image is no relationship at all. A relationship of the heart is a relationship of great value and great purpose. One of the ways that I looked at it is this cold religious practice versus being covered in that comforter, that blanket that keeps us warm. In this cold time of the year, we like that comfort of that blanket or that comforter or that special sweater that we wear at home. We surround ourselves with it because it brings us comfort. The meditation that God wants us to have upon His Word is not cold, dry religious practice. It is a life-giving relationship with the presence of God. Looks a little different, doesn't it, than just having to go through ritual versus encountering the one that we love the most Why was it that God was concerned that he be our first love? For our first love has our full attention. Our first love has our energy. Our first love has what we call our passion. And that's what God deserves. And see, a relationship with God that's based on knowing his heart through his word never grows old. The dimensions of the expression of his love for us is endless. And it awaits us if we will apply that Joshua principle to meditate on God's word day and night. Let me put it this way. Meditate on the heart that God has for you day and night. For God expresses his heart for us through his word. I will meditate on your word day and night. God's word is the greatest expression of his presence. You know, I've been in Pentecostal settings for years, and I love the freedom of the Spirit. I love it. But I'm going to tell you this. The emotion that we feel, that we know when God shows up, cannot compare with the power of his presence that we experience when we meditate on his word. Now let me just put it this way. It's the effect of knowing his heart, the emotions. And a relationship that's solid is going to have a solid feeling within. But people say, I want revival to come to America. I want it to come to America. And many times it encompasses this design, services, and expressions of outward emotion. I've been there. I've done that. I've tasted that. And there's elements of it that are wonderful. But it's momentary. And those expressions are not meant to be the foundation. The foundation is the relationship with his word revealing his heart to us. That is revival. Revival is not a service. Revival is a transformed heart. What do we have without God's word reaching our heart? What did our week produce without God's word reaching our heart? Can kind of sum it up this way. Static. Just getting through. When God is reaching through all of the static to speak his heart to us. Meditate on my word day and night. Don't be distracted. Don't let anything rob you of the presence of God. His presence is found in no greater measure than in his word. Your enemy knows your most effective weapon. It does. Your enemy knows what your most effective weapon is, and that weapon is targeted. And I believe this with all my heart. The enemy knows that God's expression to us comes through his word. And he'll do everything that he can to block the words so that the expression of God's heart doesn't reach us. So if our enemy knows the weapon and attacks the weapon, because I believe this with all my heart. Satan will keep us busy doing good things. Satan will keep us active doing good things. But Satan will do all that he can to keep us from the expression of knowing God through his word. Filled with good intentions, but static, that keeps us from the heart that God wants to express to us, his word. So, when Satan knows our greatest weapon is the word of God, then should we not know that as well? So when life begins to beat us up and tear us down and we're reaching everywhere for solution, everywhere but letting the word express the heart that God has for us. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that if we live apart from knowing God through his word, we live apart from God. And that which filters and tries to and somehow give us a belief that we're defending against the garbage of life, when Satan approached Jesus, Jesus gave him the word. In the wilderness, in his temptation, the word, the word, the word. This verse, this passage, you guys have heard your whole life. And I just want to touch on it, because I think we need to look at it in the fullness of what's being said. You've heard it all your life. Put on, take up the whole armor of God, right? We've heard that all of our lives. We want to be soldiers in God's army that are equipped with the full armor of God. So let's take a quick look at what that looks like. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. God says, the days are evil. The static that has fallen is all around you. So if you're going to put on the armor, put on the belt of truth. This is the word of truth. It's not my distant calculation of coping with what life is bringing. It's not me compiling all this information that I've had for years and years of being a Christian. Truth is found solidly in the Word of God, and it's greater than my collective experience. So some rest more on their collective experience than they do on the Word of God. It's called management, coping with what life brings in our own ability. See, God has something to say to us when the solid belt of truth is fastened to us. We go further. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, when the enemy points his arrow towards you, when the sword is pointed at you, the target of our demise is our heart. So the armor of God is that breastplate of righteousness that what? Guards our heart. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is being in right standing with God. How can we know what is right standing without the word of light that shows us how to stand? Without the word, we stand vulnerable for our heart to have the deposits of voices that will change who we are. And it will be displayed in proud human flesh as, in our minds, okay with God. Think about it a moment. What once made society sickened, now society celebrates with glee and joy. How did that happen? No breastplate of righteousness. No light to illuminate where right standings are. We go further. And as shoes for your feet, boots, you could say, sandals, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of what? Peace. God is saying, soldier, make sure your feet are guarded and protected by what? The gospel of peace. Make sure where you walk that your feet are guarded by the gospel of peace. For when we step outside of the will of God, we will forego the peace that His Word offers. And when that peace is foregone, we seek other sources to ease our mind and to evaluate our thoughts or to align our thoughts to a place in which we can cope. Is there any wonder why our society is so free now to say, smoke the dope? It's good for you. Toke it so you can cope it, right? That's where it's at. Peace has to be found where? Somewhere. And God tells us that our feet are guarded by that gospel of peace that is what? His word. The word of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I got it. I got faith. I'm standing with that shield. What does this shield do? With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Where does faith come from? Does it come from my capacity to let faith in? Is that where it comes from? Where does faith come from? Did I just happen upon the right place that's teaching the right thing? Where does faith come from? Romans 10:17 tells us this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The shield is impossible without the word. Voices are speaking. Voices are entering. Voices are forming. What voices are we listening to? And take the helmet of salvation. Remember that? Put on that helmet of salvation. Sometimes it kind of felt like this. I've been saved. I prayed that prayer. I got that helmet. I'm okay. I got it. Preacher said I got it. I got it. Goes a little deeper than that. And take the helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ is the helmet of salvation. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. To have the mind of Christ, we must have the mind of His Word. The target is to clutter the mind. That static that we heard earlier is to gargle the mind so that we almost get to this place, or I would say get to this place of being numbed. And then we begin to reach to try to figure out the journey, and what we reach to are voices other than the Word of God. The helmet of salvation is the mind of Christ that will guard us in this day of evil. When men come and justify their positions by their own philosophies and their own assignments that they've made for themselves, their own teaching, their own justification, God leads us back to His Word to say, this is truth and that is a lie. Don't listen to it. You know, I'll just say this real quick because I'm not trying to pick on any particular sin. That's not my goal, because sin is what? Sin. I grew up in a denomination at one time that was called the Holy Rollers. They were the holiness movement. The United Methodist Church, or Methodist Church. Long history in the Methodist Church. And just these past years, and just recently, a big divide has come. Thank God there's a divide. Because now, it's okay, mainly in America, through bishops and through ministers, that the homosexual lifestyle is cool with God. And that those that present the Word of God, it is cool that they marry the same sex. And I hasten to say this. The static of this fallen world that we live in has warred its weapon against our minds so much that there is a defensive spirit that rises up in us to say, why would that be wrong? Because the voices are being heard. The voices are finding their place towards and their target within our heart. And once defenses are set down and no longer is the Word the standard, evil has won its victory, and the degradation of falling further and further down will be our lot. But here's the beauty. The church is here to be a standard. The church is here to be a guard and protection, even to the point when they come in and lock us up for saying what's truth. Are you willing to have your livelihood taken from you for proclaiming the mind of Christ? Are you? Because that is where we're headed. In fact, there's countries already where that's the reality. Are we ready? The helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ, will make us ready. Oh, Lord, we're living in a special day. And God chose you for such a time as this. He didn't put you here to be destroyed. He put you here to be victorious. The word of peace, to be victorious. He's given you boots for the battle. The gospel of peace. He's done it. He's done it. The word of peace. That full armor. And then we see this right in our face. And I don't have these up here as you see. In all circumstances. In all circumstances. Take up the shield of faith. We talked about that. Which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. And then this one. And the sword of the Spirit. Which is the Word of God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is a soldier that is set forth in an enemy territory without offensive ability to move after the enemy? What is he? He's held up. He's one that takes the siege and just guards what he's got. But God didn't put us here just to guard what we got. He put us here to move against the enemy. Because the enemy's moving against us whether we notice it or not. He is out for our blood. But he don't like us to die quick. He likes us to die slow and painful and our mouths filled with degradation against God. That's what he loves. That sword is there to war against the lies of the enemy. The sword, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We know without a doubt the word of victory for the battle. You know, if you don't feel like you're in a battle, maybe you need to check what you're taking into your body. I'm just being honest with you. If you don't feel the battle, maybe something's entered you to numb you to a point where you don't even know what's going on. It's true. It could be all kinds of things to numb us. And by the grace of God, His Holy Spirit will show us the numbing factors in our lives. But God didn't place us here to be numbed out and ineffective. He placed us here to be His child, nurtured by His heart, filled with His purposes, living out in our steps. He has placed us here to enjoy His presence. And His presence is found in His Word. I heard it as Ann shared a devotion with me this past week that was very timely. And it was from, I think, Pastor, that you guys were in at his church in California. And he was basically saying this. We host the Spirit of God within us. So what does a host do? A host acknowledges the responsibility, right? A host acknowledges the guest. A host wants that guest to experience the greatest welcome that they can have. And basically that devotion was saying, believers, don't forget who lives in you, the Holy Spirit. And the most important thing in our lives is hosting Him efficiently, effectively, and completely. And the way that we host the Holy Spirit within is to listen to what He wants to say to us. And you don't have to get kooky, because we get kooky as people, don't we, sometimes? Even as Christians, we get kooky. The Word keeps us from getting kooky. All right? Oh, we'll take scriptures sometimes out of context and run with them. We will. I'm guilty, I know. But as we diet upon the heart of God, it protects us and keeps us in clarity with what truly lives in God's heart. The Joshua principle. Verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. And let me just step back real quick. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful. Listen closely to that. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. To be careful, be aware of God's heart and God's presence. I choose, just as the weapons, the armament is a choice to put on, I choose to apply your word. It has not come so that I would distance it in my actions. It has come to walk out in my steps, to be lived out in my steps, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. I will walk according to your word. How often have we said that to God? I will walk according to your word. When this temptation comes, when this choice comes, what will be the guiding force of my decision? Will it be the fallen static that tells me it's okay? Or will it be what God's word has said? And how can I know what God's word says unless I spend time hearing his heart? The heart that formed me, you're not an accident. Doesn't matter how many times your mom or your dad said they never wanted you. You weren't planned. You just happened upon them. Doesn't matter. If it hurts to hear that. But the one who formed you and made you was not your mama. It was not your daddy. It was God Almighty that knitted you and formed you and put you on this earth for his purpose. You would not be breathing today if God hadn't chosen to give that to you. So parents, we need to calm it down a little bit, right? Not only does that heart that wants to communicate to us through his word, it's the heart that formed us, it's the heart that loves us with all that he has, in the fact that he gave his son so that love could be in the fullest of expression in us. He died for us. That is love, no greater love than someone be willing to lay down their lives. He has that heart that seeks to fulfill his purpose in you. You know, do we ever give up on God's purpose? Well, to be honest with you, I have at times. Kind of just checking out. God's purpose is still alive because you're drawing the air that he's gifted you with just now. So we have a choice. Believe that I am of no value, that I am insignificant in what I do, my effects of how I live doesn't matter to anyone but me. And take the purpose of God and slam it to the ground and discard it as we would discard trash. God's purpose is in you. God's purpose will live out in you. God speaks his purpose daily to us if we will meditate upon his word. Again, not a cold religious practice. Not something that is just to check a to-do list, but entering his word with anticipation, God has something to say to me. God has something to inform me about today. And all of it, though it doesn't always feel that way, is good news and for my highest purpose. Even when that word of rebuke comes, it comes with good intention. The Joshua principle, I will walk according to your word. Be careful to apply all that is written in it. And then lastly, two quick ones I want to go through quickly. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way, say that word with me, prosperous, prosperous. Then, as I apply this principle, I will prosper by applying your wisdom. Then true prosperity will come when we apply God's word to our steps. My soul will prosper. We prosper in the presence of God. Right now, there might be a heart that just feels so overwhelmed, so battered by the battle. God says, draw unto me. Come and let my word remind you of my presence within you. Open your heart afresh to how you interact with me. I know you have confessed me. I know that you have chosen to follow after me in your mind and in your proclamation. But I want you to follow after me, not the way you choose, but the way that I choose. For your path will lead to frustration. Your path will lead to dryness. Your path will lead to hopelessness. All in my name. But my path will lead to the prospering of your spirit in the way that I am able to provide. Let my voice speak into your heart daily. Treat my word for what it truly is. It is my presence. Your intellect is not a barrier. Your focus on your theological ability is not the focus. I will reveal the truth of my word to you in the measure that you will enjoy and be able to apply. Don't be intimidated when the enemy says that sword is your hands aren't fit for that. Well, none of us are. But by the mercy and the blood that was poured out, that has washed us of all unrighteousness, the word of God will speak sweetly, clearly to the steps that he has for us this day, this morning, this night. If we will only seek the presence of God by entering his word. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, then you will make your way prosperous. And then the last principle here, and then you will find good success. Is God a liar? No, he's not a liar. Is God one that builds false hope? No, God doesn't build false hope. God is one that will give us success. He is one that will prosper us. us. And see, the problem comes in is when man takes the fallen static and the flavor and the taste of this world and implements it into success and prosperity. When God looks at our prospering, he looks deeply at the soul and what will last forever and ever and ever. And there ain't nothing that we can buy. There's nothing that we can put in a bank that will give us the satisfaction of a soul that is prospered and successful because of the presence of God in us. That's what I want, church. That's what we're here for. For when we are prosperous, when we are successful in our soul, then we will tell others of the hope that we have trusted in. I will succeed by honoring your commands, God. I will not forego what your will is because your word has revealed your commands to me. Listening is a choice which takes to determination. It takes a lot of determination to listen through all of the fallen static, to put on the whole armor of God. It's not always easy. But it is possible because it is God's strength that allows that placement to come. His word, his presence. I will store up your word in my heart. I will focus on your voice above all others that I may not sin against you. And in closing today, Joshua 1:9. This is what God was saying. After all of this, this principle, listen at the heart of God. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. And let's say this together, wherever you go. See, the day's not really that different, to be honest with you. When God gave his word to the children of Israel, they stood and they looked, and what was before them was the what? The promised land. But where did their minds begin to go back to? Things that took away strength, things that took away courage, things that gave birth to fear, things that seeded discouragement within them. God says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Not in ourselves, but in the knowledge of knowing the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do we want God with us? Yeah. Amen. We want God with us. Do we want to know his heart? Yeah. We have his heart, and he stands ready every day to speak his heart in us as we enjoy his presence. If we can this morning, if we can stand to our feet, as we bow in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Voices, Lord Jesus. So many voices. So many things are being communicated to us in this age of information. The information age is everywhere, God. We have the voices that come with the intention to win our heart. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are all about our heart. You want success to live within us. You want prosperity to live within us. You want our souls to prosper. To the one that's downcast today, know that the land that we live in, as evil has increased, pain enters in. It does. He says, don't be surprised by the suffering that you're going through, as if something strange was happening to you. It's not strange. For when God destined our purpose to be upon this earth, he knew what would war against us. For it is he that has told us that our flesh is not life, but our spirit filled with his spirit, made alive through the life of his son, will endure from glory to glory. From glory to glory. The pain that you felt this week, the enemy has tried to come and bring shame that you feel the way you feel. Know that God knows what the pain has brought. And he's right there with you. As we talked about, that blanket of his presence stands ready to comfort you in this journey. From glory to glory. Glory is the purposes of Christ being the reality of our life, being where God wants us to be, living out his intentions. And you are. You're holding on. You say, it hurts, Pastor. You're holding on. The testimony of your words, deeply seated in your soul, proclaim you have not let go. Continue to let him prosper your soul. Continue to draw your hope in him. And draw close to him as he is so faithful to draw close to us.